Today is March 27th, 2013, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 197, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, agent provocateur. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to question or comment anything or comment on or question any... Oh, I messed it up, man. If you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
I knew you'd get through it. I believe in you, Brian.
It's a good thing one of us does.
Yeah, well, you know, it takes a village.
Or, it does take a village idiot.
Yeah, well, we do what we can. And apparently our village has two idiots.
Yes, apparently. Apparently.
Yeah.
Lucky village.
Yeah, ever so.
Speaking of huge, massive, large villages, let's talk about China. That's the worst segue of all time.
No, actually, I believe the worst segue of all time happened on an episode of International Mac Podcast I was on, and then was promptly followed by me creating an incident that left me apologizing to the entire world. But you know what? This Mac is right up there.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. No, I've been writing a piece about looking at some recent events with Apple in China, and basically what Jeff and I thought it would be a great idea is to use the show to talk more about it so that I can more easily finish the piece.
So basically, dear listeners, you have now become Brian's support network for writing an article. Thank you.
Yay!
You're now, part of the process now.
I think it's really interesting what's been happening, and I'm kind of looking forward to talking about it.
So we should probably start with a little bit of background so people know what it is that we're diving into.
Yes, please.
And the nutshell version is that over the past couple of weeks, China has been actively slamming Apple. From a marketing standpoint. And what they're doing is saying that Apple is treating their customers in China worse than customers in other countries by offering a warranty that is not comparable to what you can get other places.
And, right. Yeah. It was a two-stage process, right?
Right.
We had a segment on a very popular show that is the name of that show 315?
Oh, I don't remember the name of the show.
I meant to triple check that before we started recording.
But that sounds right.
And so what did they say on that show? That's where it started.
Okay, so that's where it started, and that's where they said that that Apple is being callous and treating Chinese customers poorly, and they called Apple as a corporation very arrogant, and I think they used discrimination as a term in there somewhere, and then said that Apple needs to change its policies so that they are friendlier to Chinese customers. But the way it was couched, it was more like, if you're in China, don't use Apple products because we're not happy with Apple.
Right. And that was followed up. So the first follow-up was seemingly an orchestrated Weibo campaign. And Weibo
it's their version of Twitter.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah. In a nutshell, it's extremely popular in China. And it's for microblogging, i.e. Twitter.
Right. And so what ended up happening was there was this wave of posts that went out over the service that were very critical of Apple. And many of these were coming from celebrities.
Including Peter Ho I've got that in front of me. Should I read it?
Yes, read that.
Peter Ho is apparently a popular Taiwanese-American movie star. Obviously, movie star in China and Taiwan. And he tweeted, "Wow, Apple has so many tricks in its after-sale services." I say tweet. That's not true. He weeboed.
Yes, he weeboed.
I wonder if that's a verb.
It is weeboed. Now. Well done. Now.
So he weeboed. "Wow, Apple has so many tricks in its Apple in its after-sale services. As an Apple fan, I'm hurt. You think this would be acceptable to Steve Jobs? Question mark. So you think this would be acceptable to Steve Jobs? I'll read it like you actually wrote it. Or to those young people who sold their kidneys to buy iPads? It's really true that big chains treat customers poorly. Post around 8:20.
Okay, yeah. How about that?
Okay. So it's apparently the instruction.
Yes, the instruction of when to post it. And then he followed up later on saying, "Hey, someone hacked my Weibo account or hacked my smartphone," whatever. And as it turns out, a lot of people in China aren't quite as malleable as the government would like them to be. And they started speaking out on Weibo against what they're seeing as a government orchestrated attack on Apple.
And they turned that into a hashtag, the hashtag post around 8:20, which I think is hilarious.
Oh yeah. I mean, the fact that post around 8:20 is still in there, that's just deliciously awesome.
Now, what makes this extra interesting to me is that in this particular case, not extra interesting, a side effect even. So it's actually the opposite of extra interesting, but one of the little twisty side... I'll try this again. One of the extra twisty side streets on this is that Peter Ho seems like he was hired to do this, and there have been other instances where celebrities were thought to have been hired by whatever aspect of the government was behind this government-run TV show's expose to carry out similar campaigns. In other words, these celebrities echoed the points that were made in whatever particular expose was being run by 315.
Now, wouldn't it just be deliciously awesome? Delicious, apparently, is my word of the day.
Apparently.
Makes me kind of want cookies. Anyhow, so and deliciously lemonade. Awesome. If he had left the instructions in on purpose, and because if you're a celebrity in China and the Chinese government says, "Hey, we want to pay you to do this," the appropriate response is, "Okay." But if he didn't actually want to post that tweet or that Weibo and of course felt very compelled to do it anyhow, he could accidentally leave the instructions in and make a very strong statement by doing so.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of seems like a cut and paste error to me. I mean, it's possible. We don't know this guy. We've never met him. I've never seen anything that he's done. I don't know anything about him. Actually, that's not true. We do know one thing about him. He is he's a Samsung spokesperson.
That's right.
So it's kind of interesting. As an Apple fan, I'm hurt, but
he's a Samsung spokesperson.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. But it really seems like it was a copy paste mistake, and he got busted. And the result, interestingly enough, has been a sort of backlash against the show and against the orchestrated campaign. So rather than hurting Apple, this whole thing seems, at least from those of us on the outside and from other Western observers who've been looking in, it seems to have helped Apple and not hurt Apple.
Right. And I find it very interesting that people in China are feeling comfortable enough to talk out against their government like this. There was a time not that long ago when people would not even consider saying something like this because you get disappeared or your life becomes ugly in some other way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's certainly interesting. Of course, this wasn't, you know, this was the government by proxy. I mean, the show is on CCTV, which is a state-owned network. So it's not like people are smack talking the premier. They're talking about what seems like an orchestrated campaign. So it's still kind of indirect.
Sure. Although some of the responses to this whole campaign that I've seen mention the government directly. Nonetheless, yeah, you're right. This is probably more about targeting a news show that is the voice of the government as opposed to targeting the government directly.
Right. So there was follow-up. Apple defended itself, right? They put out a sort of milquetoast statement saying that, hey, our policies, our return, our warranty practices here are pretty much the same as they are anywhere else in the world.
Which was, on one hand, just fine, because that gets Apple's point across, lets everyone know, hey, don't worry, we're not trying to screw anyone. But on the other hand, apparently it didn't go over too well with at least some people, because they felt like Apple was issuing a statement that was more or less blowing them off.
Which was the second blow in the 1-2 combination, because the People's Daily, which is a state-owned newspaper, ran a front-page article that called Apple's response empty and self-praising, and was very, very critical of it. Well, effectively, because Apple wasn't kowtowing. This is an appropriate use of the word kowtowing.
Actually, yeah. Yeah. And then that created more backlash from citizens who were then questioning why in the world are these news agencies getting all up in arms about Apple's policy for warranty work when they didn't apparently have any sort of coverage for toxins in foods and
tainted
government
milk.
Corruption. Yeah, things like that.
Yeah, and that is the interesting thing here. And that's actually the part that I'm most interested in talking about, both my written piece and the podcast here. And that was, why is China doing this? And what does it mean for Apple?
Well, that's a good question. And I like what you were talking about before we started the show, or at least it really got me thinking. When you said that that this feels like a move on the Chinese government to try and get people to, in essence, buy local.
Yeah, it seems like there's that aspect. So it's very curious to me. At the employment by, let me approach this from a different angle. There are at least 1 million people that are employed by Apple's supply chain and manufacturing chain in China. They don't necessarily all work full-time for Apple all the time, but there's roughly 1 million people that are employed in China making all these devices to get sold.
Sure.
And that makes Apple, indirectly, a very important part of the Chinese economy. And Apple's wages, the wages paid to, for instance, Foxconn's employees that are making Apple's products, those wages are some of the highest in the industry. And what I'm trying to say is that Apple is an important part of the economy, and it strikes me as interesting that the Chinese government would want to slam Apple when it is such an important part of the economy. And that, to me, says that at some point, that the fear of... Okay. Let me back up a little bit more. It seems like there's concern within the government over these premium Western brands, and as well as Samsung, obviously, is a South Korean brand. But
so you know, premium foreign brands.
Premium foreign brands is much better. But Android itself is a Western OS. That's kind of what I was thinking. But there's concern about the premium brands like Samsung and Apple capturing a big chunk of the domestic smartphone market, and that they want to take Apple down a notch or two in order to get the locals thinking about buying Chinese developed and made products.
The irony is that the iPhone is a Chinese-made product, but
yeah.
I know that's not the point, at least from China's perspective.
Yeah, there's very. I think it's something like $20 or $12 in labor goes into each iPhone. So, you know, the vast bulk of money is definitely not being paid to the workers, to Foxconn, and then therefore to workers. The vast majority of the money is going into the other components, many of which are not made in China, but some of which are. And then, of course, all the profits don't necessarily come back to the United States. They go back to the Cayman. They go to the Cayman Islands via Ireland and the Netherlands, but that's another story.
Right. Yeah,
but they're leaving. It's leaving China is the point.
Yes, it's leaving China. And of course, China would like to keep that money in the country.
Right. And China would like to see more domestic smartphone manufacturers get a leg up, not only from an economics perspective, but because the domestic maker, this is my opinion, and actually, it's like I'm an idiot today.
I think your blood sugar's low. You need a cookie.
That could be the case. Maybe some lemonade. I'm not trying to claim the following opinion as invented by me, but I am saying that it's my opinion. That domestic manufacturers are going to be easier to control in terms of tracking users, tracking app uses, and tracking what is being done with mobile apps, which the Chinese government is very, very, very interested in.
Sure. It's how they roll.
As a matter of fact, you know, I hadn't even thought about this. Is it a coincidence that this took place a couple of months after Apple flipped on the HTTPS connection for the App Store in China? Huh.
That's an interesting thought. Occurred to me either.
A couple of months ago, Apple flipped that on. Tell us about that.
Okay, so when Apple switched over to HTTPS for their store connections, they essentially cut China out of being able to directly monitor the activity of their citizens as they're shopping online for Apple products.
Now, right, because it's a secure connection. A secure connection is created between the device or iTunes and the Apple Store itself.
Right. So at that point, the government can't watch and see what each person is looking at and then purchasing. And if they want to track what people are purchasing, they have to find another way. They can look at credit card information, but that's just going to show they bought something from the App Store. It's not going to show what they purchased.
Yeah, China can probably get that information if they really want it, but it certainly becomes more difficult. And it's a lot easier. I mean, this is like a, you know, like when Google was asked to censor its search results, the company pulled up stakes and
they left.
They rerouted Google China searches to Google Hong Kong searches, which at least for the nonce have a different set of rules governing them.
Which no doubt made China really happy.
Yeah, well, you know, they could slam the door. It's always confused me. China is such a it's just such a fascinating country. I mean, because they could slam the door on that if they want to. I mean, you know, sure. There are two sets of rules governing Hong Kong and the rest of China, but that's only because the rest of China allows that still.
Right, and the fact that Hong Kong doesn't, well, that in and of itself is fascinating, that here you have what amounts to a city-state that is telling their parent country, no, we're really not interested in playing your game.
Well, I don't know if it's like that. It's more like, yeah, you guys can keep, you generate so much money that we're not going to mess with that, and you are going to be allowed to continue playing more or less of your game.
Sure, but I really like how it sounded the way I said it.
Yeah.
But you're right.
So we have this interesting situation. We have the fact that Apple is very important to the Chinese economy, and yet the Chinese government is slamming on Apple. And at the same time, of course, Apple has identified China as its second largest market and its most important source of revenue growth.
So maybe China is thinking that they are now far more important to Apple than Apple is to China. Wait.
I think that's safe to say, Jeff.
Yeah, there we go. And so now they're flexing the muscles a little bit.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, you know, because the reality, of course, is that at any given moment, China could just kick Apple out of the country if that's what they wanted to do.
Sure. Well, I mean, they could completely cut off internet access.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things. They could block all connections to the App Store, for instance. There's all kinds of ways things could get infinitely hairier for Apple.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't know, it is rather interesting, and it leaves Apple in an interesting situation. And, you know, like, if you're Tim Cook, how do you negotiate these waters?
That's a tough one, because it's not like China is really, as far as I can tell, in a position where they feel like negotiating. They just want Apple to do what they want. And so they've started this kind of passive-aggressive thing.
Yeah. Have they asked Apple to do something? We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. And if they have, it seems likely Apple said no.
You know, when Microsoft was asked, Microsoft said, "You betcha. Yeah, we'll censor all you want. Giddy up." Google said, "See ya."
Right.
Which I thought was I've got a lot of problems with Google.
But good for Google for closing up shop and just leaving.
Absolutely. Google did a very courageous thing by rerouting, by pulling up stakes in China and rerouting searches to Hong Kong. That was a really courageous thing. And a lot of other Western countries have happily
capitulated
and compromised theoretical Western values for the sake of getting Hong Kong yuan into their pockets.
Yeah.
Is it yuan? This is not yuan. It's not Mexican. Yuan. Anyway, money generated in China in their pockets.
You have no idea how difficult it is for me to not go down the yuan joke path.
That's a good thing. Let's just move along then.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a really curious thing. It's a really curious thing. If China said to Apple, you must include code that we can use to track all of your customers in China, to track all of their internet usage, to track all of their app usage. If China demanded that, what the heck would Apple do?
That's a tough one. The high road would be Apple says no, and they just pack up their toys and go home. But the reality is there's a lot of potential money on the table. Because
that's a huge
customer base or potential customer base there.
Massive. Massive. As we've often noted both on the site and in the podcast, actually, I'm only assuming we've done this in the podcast since we didn't podcast for so long. Let's just assume we did, though.
Yeah,
as we've often noted,
sure.
China Mobile has more customers than the U.S. has people. And it's
which
not
is
even
crazy.
Close. It is in fact crazy. Now, most of those people aren't 3G customers. That's still a relatively small market in terms of the scope of things, but it's growing all the time. And it's, I mean, there is, as you just said, there's a lot of money to be made in China, even if Apple is only participating in the high end. That doesn't even count the notion of Apple developing a less expensive iPhone model for use in China, India, Brazil, other emerging markets. There's a lot of money on the table. What do you do? Do you stand true to? I personally have no doubt whatsoever that Tim Cook believes very strongly in the notion that against censoring and government tracking. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have any proof of that. I could just be projecting.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I think that you're probably right.
Everything that he has made a stand on has certainly been conducive to that notion. But my point is, you know, what would if Apple was forced to pull out of China because it wasn't kowtowing, you know, he would be subject to shareholder lawsuits probably. It's all sorts of investors would be all kinds of pissed that anything was sacrificed or anything wasn't sacrificed on the altar of more profits.
Yeah, but how far do you go with that before it just becomes a bigger bag of hurt?
Right. And it's not like China has actually done that yet either. We don't know that China has asked anything out of Apple. And that, you know, it's real easy to go down the path in our heads that this seemingly orchestrated campaign against Apple is the result, is punishment for Apple not having done something, or
they either did something that upset China directly or indirectly, or China wanted them to do something and they're not doing it. Those are the two most likely scenarios, I think.
Right. And the third one being this notion that they simply want to artificially boost domestic producers. Domestic
sure.
manufacturers. I don't know. It's interesting. It's a really interesting situation, and I'm glad that I get to just sit here and talk about it rather than actually have to deal with it, because it's tough.
Although you do get to write about it,
right? To write and talk about it.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a lot easier than actually doing something about it. That's for sure.
Well, in a manner of speaking, you may be doing something about it because you may raise awareness for people that want to take action to, I guess, improve China's economy.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
It could happen. You never know.
Yeah. So there we have it. It's an interesting situation. It's very complex, very nuanced, and it's going to be really interesting to see where it goes. Now, it's possible that having been stung by a failed attempt with this post around 820, which I still just love, that having been stung the campaign against Apple will be dropped. You know, there has been a fairly significant backlash against it. It's also possible that whomever is the person or persons behind that are actually behind this, you know, where the buck actually stops, that they will in fact dig their heels in and decide that they're gonna show someone something who's boss.
Yeah, which would just turn into an ugly headache for everyone. I think the government and for Apple or whoever else they decide to target. Which reminds me, they did also target Volkswagen.
Right. That's a very good point, Jeff. It's not like Apple was the first here.
Yeah. They made a point to is it appropriate to say single out when you refer to two companies?
Single out, whatever.
We'll let it slide. Yeah.
We're going to make that appropriate right now.
Okay. Yeah. So they singled out Apple and Volkswagen.
Volkswagen was last year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I believe the Volkswagen was last year. And then I thought there was actually another company last year too.
That I don't know.
I'm trying to do the internet finds right now.
So while you're doing that, I'll just point out that the big
thing... It was the same show that did.
So that was the same year. So both were this year.
Yeah, Volkswagen and Apple were in the same. Were in the same one.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Go ahead though.
No, I was just pointing out that Apple and Volkswagen were both targeted. I'll call it a smear campaign, for lack of better words right now. The smear campaign wasn't singling out just one company.
Right. But and this is what this show does. This show targets 315 targets companies that aren't doing someone right.
And
so, I mean, this is basically what this show does, and it just happens to be that they went after Apple and Volkswagen.
And since I'm not in China, I have not seen this show. When I ask, I don't know what the answer is. How many of the companies do they target where there are legitimate concerns, where they need to be highlighted and consumers need to be made aware? And how many of the companies are targeted because there's some other motive?
Right. I would imagine that most of it's legitimate. I mean, you know, the show, the Chinese people aren't stupid. The right. Show wouldn't be successful if there wasn't some meat on the bone.
Yeah, you would think.
Meat on the show's bone. I don't even know what that means.
That's okay. We'll roll with it.
Okay.
We just singled out two companies. We'll roll with the meat on the bone. And and honestly, I don't know. So I would like to think that what they're doing is legit. Although when you see Apple targeted like this, it does make you wonder.
Yep, indeed. You know, Jeff, seems like a good time to introduce our new segment, Jeff and Brian's Love Seat.
Oh, right. You mean where we offer our love and dating advice for all the geeks out there?
Absolutely. I mean, who better to offer advice on the ways of courtship than you and me?
Yeah, right. And our track record, yeah, it really speaks for itself.
And how. So I guess just let's get to it. Let's start at the beginning. I think we can all agree that every relationship starts with that all-important first conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you're talking to a woman, from my perspective, the single most important thing you should never do is to take
Oh. Hold on a sec, Brian. I think that's Melissa over at the Melissa portal. Can you go grab that?
Yep. Let me just... This
is great. I haven't seen Melissa in a while.
Oh,
man, I hope she brought cookies. And lemonade.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Jeff.
Melissa!
Hey, guys.
Hey, Melissa, what are you doing here?
I'm here for a quickie.
Oh, awesome.
Sweet.
My very first one.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, now, for those of you that don't know, Melissa showing up for a quickie is actually pretty awesome because it turns out she happens to be one of our writers at Mac Observer, and she writes up a bunch of our quick tips, and they're absolutely fantastic.
They are, in fact, fantastic. Melissa's quick tips are one of my favorite things at TMO.
Aw, shucks.
It's absolutely true.
So it's really great that you're here. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me.
So what are you going to show us today?
So what I'm going to talk about is how you can use Preview as a conduit instead of iPhoto to get photos onto your Mac so that you can get them in and put them on a flash drive or on your desktop or something without having to go through iPhoto.
That makes sense.
So what you're going to do is you're going to plug in your camera or your iPhone, and then you'll open Preview and go to the File menu. And you'll see in my very first screenshot that there is an option in the File menu called Import From, and then it gives the name of the camera, in this case, Import From Melissa's iPhone 4S.
And then she means, of course, the screenshot and the show notes, so you can find them there.
Yes. And so then if you click that option, it'll bring up a window showing you the contents of your camera roll. And you can select things from there. This will be my second screenshot. You can select things from there. You can choose to delete them off your camera roll, or you can choose to import them. And if you click on import, it'll then give you an option of where you want to put them, such as on an external device or onto your desktop or whatever you have. And then you don't have to go through iPhoto and delete them out of iPhoto if you don't want them there. You can just put them wherever you need them in the first place.
Boy, that's actually really useful.
Yeah. Okay. So now someone like me, where would I use this? It's awesome. I just help me visualize, Melissa.
Well, what I imagine someone doing is taking a whole bunch of photos and then only wanting specific ones to, say, go to a client or to go on a flash drive to send to someone. And they don't want to go through the trouble of actually putting them into iPhoto first, you know, all 150 of them, or selecting 150 from 150, which ones they want to go, and then having to go through the trouble of deleting them from their iPhoto library and deleting them from PhotoStream or what have you. Just having an ability to put them right where they want to go in the first place.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, this is,
you know, I'm actually seeing where this would be totally awesome for me now when we're at Macworld or CES.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, I can grab photos off other people's cameras for articles and then not have to worry about packing more than I want into iPhoto. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, this tip actually was originally suggested to me by our very, very good friend, John Martellaro.
Aha!
Ah.
Knew that guy was good for something.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
Yeah. We love him. We keep him around.
All right. Well, that is a fantastic first quickie for the Apple Context Machine. I'm so glad that you could come by and share that with us.
Thanks. I'm happy to help.
We should do this again.
Yes, we should.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thus it was written and thus it shall be done, or so, I don't know.
Future quickies.
Yes, future quickies.
So spake Jeff and Brian, so shall it be.
Yes. And we'll even go ahead and rip off Battlestar Galactica.
So say we all.
All right. Well, that seems like a fantastic cap to the show, Jeff.
I think so. All right, that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. Thanks for listening, and feel free to follow me on Twitter. You can find me at twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow me at twitter.com/TMOBrian. That's Brian with a Y.
And I'm at Melissa C. Holt.
Yay!
Hooray!
Hooray! Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And we love you all, so stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.